Hey, Danny, how you doing, man?
Oh, excuse me. Oh. That's a thing they're doing it. They fart a lot in
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think that really was wonderful. I think, in fact, should we just start an ASMR channel? Is that is that the next step off the back of that?
Hello and welcome to Raxacoricofallopatorian ASMR with me, Blonfolfelfotch.
Yeah, I mean, perfect. Why aren't we doing that already?
It's a gold mine.
But yeah, this week we're talking about the fourth episode of the first season of Doctor Who, which is called what? Aliens of London?
Aliens in London.
Aliens in London? Well,
if there were aliens of London, they wouldn't be aliens, would they?
That's a good point. No, it's all relative.
Yeah, that's true. It was written...
If we were on Mars, there'd be aliens.
Sorry?
If we were on Mars, there'd be aliens.
Well, yeah, we'd be the aliens, I guess.
And there you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it down. Come on.
Another win for logic. It was written by Russell T. Davis, directed by Keith Boak. I hope I'm saying that right. And it's starring Christopher Eccleston, Billy Piper, Camille Kadoorie, and Noel Clark, and a bunch of others.
It's my favourite part of this series, is when we start doing repeated credits and it's just like, oh yeah, these people are the big stars in it and, you know, who gives a shit about the others? That just really makes me laugh that's the go-to.
There's some guest stars, but fuck them. opening statements?
A great look at a First Contact-esque story in modern London. A really good one.
Indeed. The first time in New Who, where it felt like an action blockbuster, the return... Jesus Christ, shut the...
All right, everybody, I'm going to be recording. I know. And everybody, it's their weekly parade, just about to start.
Honestly, they plan it around this. They wait until... Right, okay, he's recording. Right, start the drums. Unbelievable. Right, the first time in New Who, where it felt like an action blockbuster, the return of UNIT and the template for Earthbound episodes that the Davies era was so good at.
You're very right. It's, the Davies era was sort of a... I mean, you said it in one, it's sort of an action thriller.
Yeah.
Really, like the Davies era was. And I quite liked Doctor Who being an action thriller.
Yeah. It was as close as it could get to being like a Marvel film or something like that, you know, where it's like...
Yeah.
All the sort of pieces come together. It's like... At the end of season 4, like the Stolen Earth, that's like... It feels like Endgame, that, or like Infinity War or something.
Yeah, you're completely right, yeah. That's a good point, yeah, because they are bringing together all those characters and it's all this overarching arc, all bringing it together all into one big thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's done really well. But anyway, creepy room questions. 12 months and then they're allowed to sit on a roof together, but, you know.
Yeah, it is quite strange how after a brief argument, everybody's just chilling out. Like, oh, okay, well, guess we're all back to normal then. She's been missing for a year, but guess that's fine. They don't take the Doctor into custody.
No.
Nothing at all. It's, yeah, completely fine.
I mean, I suppose they wouldn't be able to, would they? Because she'd just be like, well, I wasn't kidnapped, so...
Yeah, I was gone voluntarily.
Yeah.
And they'd say, well, why the hell didn't you call? So, well, it's my prerogative not to call if I don't want to.
I don't have to fucking say anything. I can do what I want. I suppose that's a thing that you could say.
All right, Ron Swanson, chill out.
I know, fucking hell, Rose. Jesus Christ.
Imagine if Ron Swanson was like a companion of the Doctor.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
I believe they are talking about Earth. Sadly, they are talking about the government, and I do not care.
He would support like alien invasion because it would crush the government.
He probably would.
Oh my god, Ron, they've taken over all the governments on the Earth. Absolutely fantastic.
These Sycorax, they really know how to barbecue a joint of beef.
The Daleks have killed the Prime Minister. Hooray.
Good.
Poor Mickey again. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
As soon as she went missing, he was obviously the prime suspect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's had his girlfriend stolen by an alien, and he's a prime sort of kidnapping slash murder suspect.
In the murder, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I get that Mickey's deeply in love with Rose, but at what point of her repeatedly running off with an alien, at what point would you just be like, you know what, fuck this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
In fairness, this is like the early on stage of the... I would have been done after this. Like, see, as soon as she kissed me in the cheek and ran off into the TARDIS, I would have been like, I will fuck you then. See you later. And then she comes back and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I nearly got you put in prison. I'd be like, Rose, go fuck yourself, honestly. I mean, I don't care how much you need to find yourself and all that. You ruined my life. Go away. Shoo.
Rose, I've been a murder suspect for a year now.
Yeah.
You realise this is not okay.
Your mum's been spreading rumours about me in the estate. No one will hire me. No one will hire me. All because of you.
Rose, I'm living on the street. I haven't got a wage, Rose.
Yeah. I mean, that's fucked up. The Slitheens make their first appearance in this episode.
Yeah, who doesn't love a bit of the Slitheens, eh?
I know, they're a good combination of, like, silly and horrific.
Yeah, because they're kind of like a weird space mafia.
Yeah.
That's
exactly what they are, you know, they fart and all that, and then you make the mistake of not taking them seriously when they are just utter psychopaths.
Yeah, and that's the terrifying thing for me, is the sort of hunting thing. Like, I think there's offhand sort of references to it, and I was like, oh, well, that's kind of dumb. And then you see them, like, on all fours, charging through Downing Street, ridiculous, and all that sort of stuff, and they become much more terrifying.
Exactly.
Because they're like the size and shape and weight of a bear, but they've got enormous claws, and they're quicker and cleverer, and, do you know what I mean? They become terrifying.
I do find it confusing that every other race in the Doctor Who universe calls themselves by, like, its race, and the Slitheens call themselves by their family name rather than Raxacoracophalopatorians. You know, it's like the Daleks never...
I suppose that kind of makes sense, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you went to space with your family, and then, like, somebody rocked up and were like, hello, who are you? You'd be like, oh, we're the Kurs from England. Well, Scotland. Well, yeah. Earth.
But it's like, the Sycorax must have family.
Yeah, but the Sycorax, that was like a big sort of council, wasn't it? That was like the Parliament of the Sycorax or something. Because they were probably all individuals. I reckon in another room on the ship, there was like baby Sycorax or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, so like most alien races that visit Earth are like part of like governments and things like that, but these are just criminals.
This is literally just the mafia of space mafia.
Space mafia, yeah.
Because they aren't shy about saying, oh yeah, we're from Raxacoracophalopatorius.
Yeah,
like,
that's
true. Oh
yeah,
we are. But, you know, first and foremost, their loyalty is to the family rather than to the planet. Because aren't they like wanted criminals on their planet?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's a fantastic episode later on in the series that we'll discuss called Boomtown, where it's lit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Margaret Blaine. You know the...
Is that the actress's name?
No, that's the sort of Slitheens... That's the woman who the Slitheens killed. I think her character name is like Blonde Fall Fell Foch or something like that.
Mm.
Wait, I'm just going to... Because I've met her, I've worked with her before. What's her name?
I'm not sure. But they did really drop on with... I know who you're talking about, but they really dropped on with her. Like, she as weird as it sounds, she plays alien in a human skin suit very well.
Yeah, she does.
Which is a strange thing to say, but she does.
Margaret Blame is a senior member of MI5 in the early 21st century. Right, we know that. But who plays her? Don't mind me.
I imagine we have people listening, screaming at their phones. It's Julie something or other, or it's whoever.
I'm
going to try and overlay a ticking clock onto this bit.
I'm so close. come on. Annette Badland.
Ah, there we go. What a name.
I know, Badland. Mm. Yep. I met her. This is completely off track. She was in the Holiday Inn at Media City one time. She came out of the lift.
Cool.
And I saw her. And I was like, oh, you remember me? And she was like, yeah. She did. Did she fuck?
Oh, do you remember me? No!
I know, I'd rather people just say no rather than lie. You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, I have a terrible memory with, like, faces and names and stuff. I might recognise a face, but it'll take me so long to place it and to figure out the name. And but yeah, I know what you mean. I would rather people just be like, no, sorry, I don't remember you. Did we work together? Because I think if somebody provides, like, some sort of context to how they know me, I'll remember them.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. People keep shouting downstairs, and it's really... It's not even funny anymore. It's just really annoying, because I said I was recording, so...
I like it. Anyway, I like that the Doctor cares about the life of the pig in a strange way.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the kind of thing the Doctor would care about. It's like, no life is too small sort of thing. No one life is too small. It's like, this is a bit of a jump, but you're going to have to stick with me for this one. It's like when you see people that sort of... Like people don't value the life of, like, a smaller animal as much as they do a bigger animal.
Yeah.
And that's sort of one of my bugbears amongst pet owners, is when they don't really value the life of, say, a goldfish or a hamster or whatever as much as they would a dog. It's like, yeah, but, you know, it's still a live thing that you bought into your house and care... You know what I mean? You named it and bought it into your house. It doesn't, like... Just because it's easier to drop it and accidentally kill it or something, that doesn't make it less important.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like that the Doctor valued the pig's life.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, it must have been so scared. Because it had no idea what it was doing. It was just born into existence for that 30-second period. It must have been so terrified.
It's a horrible... It's just incredibly fucked up thing to do to just this small animal. Just take apart its brain and just stitch... bits on and then have it dive bomb in a ship it knows nothing about and just, you know, just for the sake of creating a crisis split. That's so elaborate and it's just so messed up at the same time.
Completely.
I mean, do you think there would have been an easier way to create a crisis than doing that?
I don't No, because it's kind of the same plan as what Ozymandias had, isn't it?
Yeah.
Put an alien into a city and then everybody will be like, whoa, fuck, aliens.
It must be. So... Yeah, it must be pretty effective then.
I mean, unless you did some kind of a brain wave thing and, like, just put the psychic idea of an alien into everyone's head.
Yeah.
That's the only sort of less cruel way I can... less cruel. You're still, like, implanting things into people's brains from miles away. So it's still pretty cruel. But, like... That's the only thing I can think, maybe.
I mean, it must...
Or you make a robot and make the robot look like it's alive.
Yeah.
And is the robot alive? You get into, like, the whole, is Data alive or is he... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that someone must be like, you know, wait a minute. Right, okay, we're on red alert. The Prime Minister's missing. And the best that we can do is the guy who organises the sugar standards for... I mean, to be fair, the general did try and say, he was like, it's my duty to relieve you of your command, and then he gets killed, I guess, so, so, you know, at least it wasn't just, oh yeah, that's me, the Prime Minister now, no questions asked, boom.
Thing is, I have to say, if you were Harriet Jones, hiding in a cupboard, and you watched, like, these senior cabinet members, senior members of the government become aliens, and kill another person, that's an instant suicide, right? You're not going home after that. Oh my god! Like I
don't know.
World has turned on its head. It's like, well, the world is over. Everybody. I mean, I suppose Harriet Jones isn't. She's not really the type. But like, I don't know. It's like the Charles Dickens thing. It's like in the previous episode. It's like I knew nothing. I knew everything, and now I know nothing.
Yeah.
I think there are some people that would just be like, oh my god, and just like escape the cycle or try to anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
okay, suicide might have been a bit intense. That's probably not the right choice for that situation.
I don't think she'd ever do it while she had to look after her mum. Because she was, you know, what is it she said? It's not the war that she's scared of, or even the aliens. It's the fact that her mother's on her own. It's like, I don't think she'd ever, you know, do that to her while her mum was still alive, sort of thing.
Yeah.
She's a great character. I love Harriet Jones.
Yeah,
I think she's
a good
great
character.
Her arc goes from nobody knowing her to everyone knowing her.
What's that that Captain Picard thing. It is possible to commit no mistakes and still lose. That's not inadequacy. That's life.
Yeah.
And I think that's Harriet Jones's sort of downfall, was she made no mistakes, but she killed the Sycorax with that big old space laser or whatever it was, that which kind of was not a mistake in a sense.
No, it was. I mean, it was. As David Tennant says, it was murder, you know?
Yeah, it was murder, but my point is it was sort of a reasonable choice to make at the time.
Yeah, the
it was like a sort of, out of, if you're the Prime Minister of a country, that's a feasible thing that you can do. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, from her perspective, it's these people, or these aliens, have showed up, threatened to kill half the population, killed a general... A sort of civilian, essentially, a scientist, actually, and then a man comes out of a blue box and fights some guy, and it's all a big laugh and a big joke, and then, you know, they just disappear, and everyone's happy. It's like, for her, it's like, no, two people that I work with have been murdered right in front of me, and you're telling,
wanting to show strength and sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and you're telling me that these creatures will go back up into the stars and then tell others about the Earth, and we're just supposed to accept that they come here and they can, you know, kill a few people, and then you show up and do the big sort of hero thing and then shove off again. And she says, I'm sorry, Doctor, but you're not here all the time. You come and go. It's like, that's true. That's so true. And that's why, like, people like Sarah Jane exist and, like, Torchwood exist. Mm. It's like, because he isn't always there, and he is just a sort of wanderer.
Doctor adjacent, aren't they? Yeah,
exactly. So it's an interesting sort of moral dilemma, but we're not even there yet.
But anyway, one thing I do like from this episode is the TARDIS. Even now, it feels a little bit alive, like the sort of atmospheric noises in there. It's like the creaks and groans, and it's like the humming and the purring of the machines. It feels a bit alive. That's something I like about Doctor Who, is that the TARDIS is a bit alive. Don't get me wrong, it's like the ultimate ex machina, because it's like, oh no, the TARDIS, how am I going to get out of this one? Then the Doctor sits in a hole and goes, oh no, and then the TARDIS just appears. It must have locked on to my brain signal, and then it just appears, or do you know what I mean?
How are we ever going to find this person? Use the telepathic circuits. The what? Yeah, I've always had them, never used them, but I've always had them.
Oh god, So is the moral of the story that if somebody gives you an ID badge, don't wear it?
I don't know if it's as simple as that. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Next time we go to, like, Bridge House for 4 o'clock club or something, hand us a BBC ID badge. I'll just throw it on the floor. I'm not wearing it. Nope. No, I think I might just get like gently removed from the building by security. Just like, stop being such a weirdo, Lewis. Yeah. Come on now. Put on your badge.
Come on, Lewis. Fuck off. Fuck off now. I don't know how, like, I don't really know what the message is of that. I think it's just it's a good old fashioned sort of aliens trying to destroy the world kind of story. Mm. And it's not the sort of you know, it's like, oh, we want to destroy the world because we're evil. It's like, no, we want to destroy the world because we're scavengers.
Profit, yeah.
Yeah, for profit, which is the oldest reason to do anything, which is to do anything horrible, which is, I think, great, you know?
What is their plan in the next episode? Don't they want to compress the world into a big, big fuck-off diamond?
Yeah, like molten slag or something like that or something. Basically... The raw minerals of the Earth are just to be sold, and that's it. So they're going to start nuclear war or something like that, and then just sell the minerals off for profit. Which is, I mean, it's sort of, I think it adopts a more cynical, darker tone, because it's letting past the you know, the Earth would have just been invaded, and, you know, it's just an alien race trying to occupy it. But instead we have these hyper-criminals who just... No, we don't care about your world. We just want to sell the stuff that you walk on. I think that's even worse than just being occupied by something.
No, I think I agree. That does seem sort of somehow worse. It is a cynical sort of... Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's like the world in which Guardians of the Galaxy takes place. That feels like quite a cynical world.
Yeah.
It's like everything is just for profit. or not for profit. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, I agree.
I like that Mickey had such a shit hiding spot. Big old helicopter up above the TARDIS, and he runs and hides behind some bins.
Yeah.
It's still very viewable from the helicopter, and yet inexplicably they don't get him.
Maybe they just don't care. Maybe they're just like, who's that? Oh, fuck knows. Come on.
Who's that man behind those bins that's very obviously not hiding very well? Oh, who cares? Fuck him.
They might just assume that, oh, it's just a random guy walking. You know, let's just not bother him because he lives here and we don't want to be disappearing too many people.
The thing about that disappearing is that implies it's like secret police knocking on your door at 2 a.m. then you get bag over the head and hustle out through the door sort of thing. But it's like big vans full of SWAT teams, helicopter overhead. It's not a very covert disappearing.
Okay, guys, we need to be silent and stealthy in this one. And then... What political party do you think's in power? I know that back then it was Blair and New Labour, but like, do you think it follows the same sort of timeline, or is it just a completely different one?
I don't know. I don't know. Christ knows, I don't know.
To be fair, we're given like no clues like whatsoever as to who might be.
I always presumed it was Labour just because that was what was happening in the real world, but like, yeah. I have no idea.
I mean, they mentioned Trump, like in the later seasons.
I thought you meant in this episode.
No,
like, no, Danny, they just fart a whole bunch.
No, they mentioned, I think in 2017, I think when Bill was a companion, I think they do a Trump really orange joke or something like that. So I think they're aware of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's so confusing because they did the episode where the Master sort of takes over everything for the first time. There's a guy called President Winters who's in charge of America.
Yes,
he gets assassinated.
Is, yeah.
And then after that, it's Barack Obama that the Master sort of turns into when he takes over humanity again at like, the end of time. It's Barack Obama that's the president.
Yeah,
so it's
okay, that's a good point. Because President Winters does get killed, doesn't he? By the Tocophane.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's quite strange. You make a very good point there. Why not just, if you're going to have alternate politicians, because the politicians are not relevant to the story, really.
No.
Harriet Jones isn't relevant to the story in terms of a political alliance. It's just like her existence is relevant to the story, not her political leanings.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big statement, but if I was showrunner of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
No, I think if I was showrunner of any big show, I would just say, right, we're not going to touch on real life politics other than, like, if we need to make a statement about something, then we will.
Yeah.
But let's just establish an alternate chain of prime ministers or whatever.
I agree. I mean,
the thing is, how often does it come up? Do you know what I mean? It's a sci-fi show. Or, like, if you're in, like, I don't know, Holby City, how often does the prime minister come up?
Yeah. I mean, I think Doctor Who's a bit more political than Holby City. I mean, it's like, we're literally in Downing Street. But it's not, luckily, like, T. Davis is such a good writer that it is irrelevant to the story. You're right. It's like, I only thought about it like just as a sort of passing thing. It's like, I wonder who's in power here.
My last sort of note worth any salt is those lights look useless. It's in the, was it like the conference room type thing? You've got to be level 9 to go in there.
Yeah.
And it's like those lights, and it's like a piece of like a strip of metal, which goes up to about 3 feet high and then curves over. So it's like, goes from being vertical to horizontal and it kind of curves. And it has bulbs all the way up. It's like, yeah, okay, it's kind of artistic, but also useless. Look directly at it and it'll be far too bright. Sit near it, I reckon it'd be really hot. They just look like useless lights. Stick some bulbs in the ceiling, like any other reasonable person. Come on now.
That's your last note worth any salt. I have one last note worth any salt as well.
Yeah, go on. Is it also about lamps?
It's not about lamps.
Fucking hell, Dan. Have you got any notes about lamps?
No.
God, you fucker.
I'll write, do you know what? I'll see for the next episode. I'm going to write a note about a lamp somewhere.
Okay.
Gonna be like,
okay,
yeah,
good.
that lamp was all right.
Like, excellent world building from that lamp.
Yeah.
Thing is, by this time next week when we're recording the next episode, I guarantee I will have forgotten completely.
Do you know what?
Whatever the hell you were talking about. I'll be like, sorry, what lamp? What the hell are you talking about?
I'm writing it down right now. Make a lamp note.
Good stuff.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, my last note worth any salt is, how do you think humans will react to first contact?
In the real world?
Yeah.
Assuming
that it's very similar to how it happened there.
I have no idea. I imagine with great panic, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think, don't get me wrong, I think there would be people doing that sort of, oh yeah, what's that party where they're playing Starman?
Yeah.
And they're like partying and getting a bit drunk and all that. I think there would be people doing that. I think there would also be people saying, we don't want these fucking aliens here. We've got our own problems on Earth that we need to solve. Like, it'd be a huge old grab bag of political and social economic opinions based on aliens. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I think severe ignorance would be a fair part in it, with myself as well, because I'd be shitting myself, you know? I'd be like, just get them away, kill them. You know, it's like, there's that, it's that sort of Lovecraftian sort of fear of the unknown kind of thing, which is so prevalent in our species. But, I'd like to think that most of us would just be having parties about it.
Like, we're not alone in the universe. Woo.
Yeah, like, hello, E.T., you know that sign?
Yeah,
hello,
yeah.
Hello, E.T.!
Yeah.
The aliens have landed!
The aliens have landed, Mary Poppins.
I know, his accent is shocking.
Yes, it is. Anyway, Clocker, have you got a closing statement? First contact related or lamp related or not?
I do, yes. An excellent setup with an interesting new villain for the history books. My arse cheeks were clenched when it was first broadcast. Can't wait to see more.
Utterly bizarre with just a hint of vague crapness, and therein lies its charm. Spooky in a campy, ridiculous way. Very, very good.
Bitchin'. Well!
Bitching indeed, Daniel.
What?
Bitching indeed, Daniel.
Bitching, yes. I think, yeah, that's us. We've done
it. Yes, I think that is us. We've done a podcast.
Yeah, we did it after all the heeing and hawing and fuck you, Skype. Honestly.
Don't say that too loud or the call will cut out.
I know, it's threatening me though now.
It's just a picture of the Skype logo sort of pointing a knife at you. You fucker. You take that back. He's got like a wine bottle that he's like smashed on the side. He's got the jagged edge pointing at you.
Do you want
take that back?
He turns into like a sort of Motherwell hard man and, you know, smashes a bottle. He's like, do you want a fucking splinter glass facial?
Yes, that's exactly what it turns into. Anyway, we've got some stuff to do.
God's sake. I am on Instagram at O'Hiram. I'm on Facebook at Daniel K. Actor. I'm on Twitter at Kerzo2000. What are you on, Lewis?
I am on Instagram at Lewis_Brindley. I'm on Twitter at LewisBrindley4. And I have a Facebook page called Lewis Brindley.
Yes.
The podcast is hosted by Podomatic. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer. Fucking, we're everywhere, man.
YouTube.
If you look there, we're out there. Yeah, YouTube. We've got some really good YouTube things going on at the minute. We've got a nice little community. I'm really enjoying it. We have a couple of people that comment on quite a few of them. I quite enjoy responding. It's nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, check it out. We also, if you like the show, then it would mean the world if you'd be able to support us. We have a PayPal donate button on our website. And we also have a Patreon, where we do a whole bunch of other stuff. You get access to our community and an exclusive Discord, and that would mean the absolute world to join the community, join in the fun. You can, what is it you can do? You can request things for us to review. You can have your say on a show or a film we're going to do, and we'll mention your opinion, even if it takes us ages like it did with Darius's. but yes, we have an amazing community. And speaking of our Patreon, we have 5 patrons, don't we, at the moment?
We do, yes.
Hit me with them, Dan.
Chloe.
Thanks.
Darius.
Thanks.
Sophie.
Thanks.
Peter.
Thanks.
And Aditya, thank you so much, guys.
Thanks. Yes, thank you very much, everybody. It means the world that you are making this show possible and help, because we, I mean, we fucking love doing this. Like, thank you very much for making this show possible. It means the absolute world. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are also partnered with a wonderful company called Strudel LTD, and it is Lewis's turn to edit this week, so I hand it over to you.
Prepare yourself, mind, body, and soul, for the advert, which, quite frankly, is the best advert in history. Better than that Apple one where that bloke smashes up a computer. Better than, I don't know, the Compare the Market ones. Better than any of them. And it's coming now!
Hey, Dan, do you ever drink things?
No, actually, I don't.
Right, well, that's messed the ad up then, hasn't it? Oh, good grief. Well, if you're not a massive weirdo, then you might like to drink things from time to time, and sometimes you might even like to use a straw.
Yeah, and there are lots of options available. I've got a metal one, and they come in plastic.
Bad for the environment.
Or paper.
Falls apart immediately.
Yep, which is why strudels are out there. Strudels are straws made out of pasta, and straight away both of those problems Lewis just said are solved. The pasta will decompose in a day after you throw it away, and they'll stay strong in your drink for at least an hour.
Exactly. What's not to love? Plus, they're super convenient. Having a couple of them in the cupboard will mean you don't have to keep cleaning a metal straw every time you do the dishes.
Indeed it will. Check them out today at strudels.co.uk. You will not regret it.
See what I mean? That was so much better than any advert you've ever seen, or listened to, or anything.
And the Incredible. Oscar goes to... Shouting into the Void for the Strudel LTD advert. Oh my god, fucking...
I like to imagine the, what's his name, the opera singer that does those insurance adverts. I like to imagine him just sat in a chair going, oh, fucking hell, I can't fucking believe it. And he's just like throwing his takes off his bow tie, throws it to the ground. Fucking hell, I can't believe this has fucking happened.
See, in fairness, I love how meta those adverts are about how really annoying he is. It's like, he goes away for a while, it's like, go compare, and then he comes back, and it's like, yes, we know he's annoying, and he starts going, go compare, and he just starts fucking saying, it's like, we get he's annoying, but he's back.
We get he's annoying, but we've paid him for 10 adverts, so then this is the 6th one, so come on, we've got to come on.
We also have merch that we haven't done an advert for, but we sell mugs, we sell tote bags, we sell t-shirts, we sell jumpers, we sell everything. Those will be in the link in the description. It's on Teespring and Redbubble, so get yourself over there and buy some shit.
Aye, get yourself a mug so you can sip a cup of tea while you listen to this podcast.
Definitely, definitely. We're also partnered with another fantastic company called Number 12 Crochet Avenue. Lewis, this one's it's all you. Do you know what? Can I take this one? Because I never take this one.
Go for it. Go for it.
Number 12 Crochet Avenue is a company run by Lewis's amazing wife, Chloe. She does amazing things with yarn. She creates scarves. Does she?
Yes, she does.
What does she make?
Do anything.
She can do anything with yarn. You give her a ball of yarn and you say, make me a giraffe, and she's making you anything. And she has a wonderful, amazing Instagram that she regularly posts to. Just incredible works of art on it with just, you know, the oddest of material. Yarn. How do you even do that? I wish I could, like... Does she do lessons, Lewis?
I'm sure she'd be open to doing lessons.
She should do less. I'd love to learn how to do shit with yarn.
Start a YouTube channel and do little lessons, teach people how to do stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The Instagram is at number 12 Crochet Avenue. Please check it out. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Go and have a look. She is amazing. She does amazing things. Go and take a look.
Lewis handled that better than I did. You know, he's... You know, I'll work on it, right? I'll get something. I'll get a nice little sort of paragraph sort of finalised for next week, and it'll be...
Awesome.
Be amazing.
Get it notarised and stamped and...
Yep, definitely. That's another day, another podcast, I guess.
Indeed it is. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. We'll be back next week with the next episode. Episode 5 of Season 1, which is... Well, more aliens in London again. I hope it's called that. It's not, but I hope it is.
It's called They're Still in London. No, it's...
Do you remember the aliens from last week? Well, they're still fucking here. Ain't that weird?
It's actually called World War 3.
No, it should be, remember them aliens, they're still here. Yeah, that should be good. That'd be good.
That'd be a good title. But anyway, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, see you next time. Thanks for listening.